This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وبعد فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we went through those names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that referred to His protection and His care for His believing servants. And so we looked at four names of Allah: Al-Wali, Al-Mawla, Al-Wakil, and Al-Kafil. All of these names revolve around the meaning of Allah's protection, Allah being there for the believers, protecting them, defending them, and taking care of all of their needs. We move on today to another three names of Allah, which are very similar in meaning. Very similar in meaning. And these names are Al-Hasib, Al-Kafi, and Al-Shafi. Al-Hasib, Al-Kafi, and Al-Shafi. As for Al-Hasib, it has been mentioned three times in the Quran. And so it's been mentioned twice in Surah An-Nisa. The first is in the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, verse 6. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, concerning the yatama, the orphans who have a guardian who takes care of their wealth until they reach adulthood. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, once they have reached that age where they are responsible, we should give them back their money. فَإِذَا دَفَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فَأَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. When you give orphans back their wealth, call in witnesses, let there be witnesses, and sufficient is Allah as حَسِيب. Sufficient is Allah as one who takes account. And so that's the meaning of Al-Hasib, the one who takes things into account. The other place it's mentioned in Surah An-Nisa is in verse 86. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. And so when you are greeted with salam, respond with a better greeting, or at least similar. So for example, someone says to you, assalamu alaikum, respond with a better response. And that is to say, assalamu wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, even better. Or at least equal to that. So someone says to you, assalamu alaikum, you respond in kind, wa alaikum assalam. And then Allah says, inna Allah kana ala kulli shay'in hasiba. Indeed, Allah is an account taker. He takes things into account. He is an account taker over everything. Over everything. And finally, the third place Hasiba is mentioned is in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 39, الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Allah says regarding His prophets who delivered the messages of Allah, and fear Allah and do not fear anyone but Him, and sufficient is Allah as Hasiba. Sufficient is Allah as one who takes things into account. In all three of these verses, we have the name Hasib, and all of them are related to the meaning of the one who takes things into account. So how does that tie into the meaning that we referred to earlier? The meaning of protection, the meaning of taking care of us. That is another meaning. And it comes in another form in the Quran. Not in the explicit form hasib, but rather in the form hasb. Hasb. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 64, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ حَسْبُكَ اللَّهُ وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. O Prophet, Allah is sufficient for you and for the believers who follow you. Allah is sufficient for you and for the believers who follow you. So this is where that meaning comes, of Allah taking care of us, protecting us, defending us. Allah is sufficient. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Talaq, verse 3, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Again, حَسْب. Whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah is sufficient for them. Allah alone is sufficient for them. So this is Al-Hasib. As for Al-Kafi, it has only been mentioned once in the Quran, and that is in Surah Az-Zumar. In verse 36, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ. Is Allah not sufficient for His servant? And so kafi means sufficient. Is Allah not enough? Is He not sufficient for His servant? Meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ. And yet they threaten you with other powerless gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although it's only been mentioned once, however, it comes in the verb form several times in the Quran. In the verb form, kafa yakfi, that Allah is sufficient, He is enough. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 25, وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْظِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا. And Allah drove back the kuffar. This is in the battle of Ahzab, where they were not able to actually fight because of powerful winds that Allah sent their way. And so Allah says, He drove the disbelievers back in their rage, totally empty-handed. They didn't achieve any good. لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا. وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ. وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ. And Allah spared the believers from fighting. Allah spared the believers from having to fight. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, in verse 137, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And Allah will be sufficient for you against them. Allah will be sufficient for you against them. Meaning against your enemies, O Muhammad. Allah will be sufficient for you against them. And this is not just when he was alive, but even after his death. Allah has taken it upon himself to defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his lifetime and after his death, defending his honor. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the same regard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hijr in verse 95, إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ. إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ. Surely we will be sufficient for you, O Muhammad, against the mockers. Allah will be sufficient for you against those who mock you, those who make fun of you. And so once again, this is when the Prophet ﷺ was alive and even after his death until this very day. And so what this shows us is that we are not in need of standing up to defend the Prophet ﷺ against those who make fun of him. Allah does not need us, because Allah has taken it upon himself to do that. And as mentioned by many scholars, history has shown how anyone who mocked the Prophet ﷺ, how Allah took care of them, how they met their fate in the worst of ways. The point here is that Allah is sufficient for His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers. And all of this goes back to Allah's name Al-Kafi. We move on to Allah's name Ash-Shafi. Ash-Shafi, as a name of Allah, in this form, has not been mentioned in the Quran. However, it has been mentioned in the verb form in the Quran, in the statement of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he mentioned several things that showed how he only worshipped Allah alone. And one of the things that he mentioned, that Allah is the only one who, you know, gives life and death, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the tongue of Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And when I fall ill, it is He who cures me. Yashfi is the verb form of Ash-Shafi. So when I fall ill, it is He alone who cures me. So where do we find Ash-Shafi as a name? Because as we mentioned, Allah's names are, and we follow the rule concerning Allah's names, that we cannot name Allah with a name unless it's been mentioned. So we cannot derive a name from a verb. We cannot say Allah describes himself, for example here, that he cures, yashfi. We can't say from this name we call Allah Ash-Shafi. So we have to have another evidence. And we said it's not mentioned in the Quran. So where is it mentioned? It's mentioned in hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, which we find in Bukhari and Muslim. She says, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited any ill member of his family, he would go and touch the sick person with his right hand, and then he would make dua. And so he would say, Allahumma rabban nas adhhib al-ba's washfi anta ash-shafi la shifaa illa shifaa'uk shifaa'an la yughadiru saqama. So he would make this dua, which contains Allah's name, ash-shafi. Allahumma rabban nas, O Allah, the Lord of mankind, adhhib al-ba's, remove this disease, washfi anta shafi, and cure this person, for you are a shafi, the cure, the one who cures. La shifa'a illa shifa'uk, there is no cure except your cure. Shifa'an la yughadiru saqama, a cure that does not leave behind any disease. So these are the three names and where they are mentioned. As for their meanings, Al-Hasib, we mentioned, entails two meanings. The first is that Allah is the one who is sufficient to meet all of our needs and take care of all of our worries and our fears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us, for everything, to give us what we need and to ward off what we don't want of harm, of evil. And the second meaning of Al-Hasib is that Allah is the one who takes account of all actions in precise detail, and He will recompense each and every soul for what it did with precise measurement, taking every single thing into account, whether it's small or big. And this is all based on His knowledge, His precise and accurate knowledge. And then Him giving us either reward or punishment is according to what we did. And no one can do that except Allah. No one can do that except Allah to recompense you for what you did. And so you will get what you deserve. You will get what you deserve. And the only one who can give someone what he deserves is someone who is Hasib. He takes everything into account with precise measure. And this is the meaning of Al-Hasib. So these are the two meanings of Al-Hasib. As for Al-Kafi, it is similar to Al-Hasib in the first meaning. So we said there's two meanings of Al-Hasib. The first meaning is that Allah is sufficient for us. And that is the meaning of Al-Kafi. That is the meaning of Al-Kafi. And so Allah is sufficient to meet all of our needs and take care of all of our worries and our fears, such that we don't need to turn to anyone or anything else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this sufficiency of Allah is of two kinds. The sufficiency of Allah is of two kinds. The first is the general, meaning that Allah is sufficient for His entire creation. Everything that Allah created, every living creature, every human being, whether Muslim or kafir, Allah is sufficient for them, meaning that He takes care of them and their needs, and He provides for them. Even if they turn to others besides Allah, in the end of the day, it is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provides for them and takes care of them. And even if they were not to turn to anyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be sufficient for them. And the specific meaning, or the specific kind of sufficiency, is for the believers. Specific to the believers and the close servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so Allah is sufficient for them, protecting them, aiding them, taking care of them, granting them success and tawfiq and victory. And so all of the meanings that we covered last week in those names of Allah, Al-Wali, Al-Mawla, etc., it is included here in Al-Kafi. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for His messengers and His awliya and the righteous. And they don't need anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a protector, a defender, and one to help them and aid them. As for Ash-Shafi, it means that Allah is the true curer and healer of all illnesses and diseases. And so that includes bodily, physical ailments and illnesses, and also spiritual, that which is related to the heart and the soul. And so there are the diseases of the heart. The diseases of the heart, which are of two kinds, shubuhat and shahawat. Shubuhat are the doubts concerning Allah, concerning the deen of Allah. And shahawat are the lustful desires that we wish and we desire, we crave to fulfill in that which is haram. And so these are diseases of the heart. No one can cure that except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like no one can cure bodily, physical ailments and diseases except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there is no real cure except through Him. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا شفاء إلا شفاءك. There is no cure except your cure. And so any cure, any treatment, any healing through other than Allah are merely means that Allah has created. And He sends the cure through these means. And that's why sometimes these means do not work. Sometimes the medicine, it doesn't work. Why? Because Allah did not will for it to work. And so if Allah wills, the cure will work. And if Allah wills, He won't allow it to work. And this is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He says in Surah Yunus, in verse 107, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. And if Allah touches you with harm, none can undo it except Him. وَإِن يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. And if He intends good for you, then no one can withhold His bounty from you. يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. He grants it to whomever He wills of His servants. So this shows us that everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the meaning of Ash-Shafi. Now, what do these names teach us? What are the lessons that we learn from these three names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? First of all, Al-Hasib and Al-Kafi, these two names, they teach us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is sufficient for us in protecting us from every harm, whether it is physical, whether it is spiritual, whether it is physical, whether it is mental, any kind of illness, any kind of ailment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from every harm. From every harm. He protects us from every evil. He protects us from the shayateen of humans as well as from the jinn. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that whoever says when leaving home, Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allahi wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, whoever says this dhikr when leaving home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it will be said to such a person, Hudita wa kufita wa wuqit, you have been guided, you have been spared, kufit, and you have been protected. And so here we have the kifaya of Allah, the sufficiency of Allah. Allah will spare him. He won't need any protection except that of Allah. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and shaitan will go far away from him. So this shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us as long as we call upon Him. We call upon Him for that purpose. That, oh Allah, protect me. You alone are sufficient for me. And that's why the second point, the second lesson, is that when we are afraid of something, whatever it be, we should say, حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And so here we have حَسْب, which is the sufficiency of Allah. And so when you say حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ, you're saying, Allah alone is sufficient for me. And He is the best wakil. He is the best trustee of affairs. And we mentioned Allah's name, Al-Wakil, last week. And so this was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Al-Ahzab, and also by Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was thrown into the fire. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. Those who were warned, meaning the believers, they were warned by the hypocrites that, look, your enemies have mobilized against you, so fear them. And so Allah says, فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. That only increased them in iman. It didn't make them to fear their enemy, but rather it only increased them in iman. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And they said these words, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. The third lesson that we learn from the other meaning of Al-Hasib, that Allah is the one who takes everything into account, we learn from this that we should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He is the one who takes everything into account, no matter how small or insignificant it may seem to us. Everything is being taken into account. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, that we will set up the scales of justice on the day of judgment. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا, so that no soul will be dealt with unjustly. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا, and even if a deed, whether it is good or bad, even if it is as small as the weight of a mustard seed or an atom's weight, we will bring it on that day. And then Allah says, وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ, وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ, we are sufficient. Allah is sufficient to take into account. And so this is in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 47. And so this should make us to prepare for that hisab, that accounting, that reckoning that will take place. How do we prepare for it? By bringing ourselves to account today. Bring yourself to account today, as Umar radiallahu anhu said in his famous statement, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا وَزِنُوهَا قَبْلَ أَن تُزَنُوا, that bring yourselves to account today before you will be brought to account, meaning on the day of judgment. And weigh yourselves, meaning weigh your good deeds and bad deeds, before the day when they will be weighed, your deeds will be weighed. The fourth lesson that we learn is that Allah's sufficiency for you is proportionate to your iman and your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, whoever puts their trust in Allah, then Allah is sufficient for him. Notice how here Allah did not say, as Allah says elsewhere in the Quran, that whoever does such and such of deeds, whoever does such and such a deed, he will get this in return. A reward. We will give him such and such. Here, with respect to at-tawakkul, Allah did not say that. Instead, Allah said that he will be sufficient for that person. He will be sufficient for such a person. Allah made himself to be sufficient for such a person. Why? Because what did that person do? What did he do in order to deserve that? He put his trust in Allah alone. He didn't put his trust on anyone else besides Allah. Once we start putting our trust in others besides Allah, then why would Allah be sufficient for us? Allah leaves us to those people and those things that we have put our trust in. But when we put our trust in Allah alone, then Allah will be there for us alone. We won't need anyone else. And so Allah's sufficiency for you is proportionate to your iman and your tawakkul. If your iman and your tawakkul is low, then don't expect that Allah will be there for you. But the higher your iman and your tawakkul in Allah is, then the expectation should be more. The expectation should be more. As it was with the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, we see in their stories that Allah really was there for them. Sufficient. They did not need anyone besides Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of them. The fifth lesson that we learn is that Allah's sufficiency, His kifaya, it comes in different forms. And so we should always think good of Allah. Husnul dhan. We should always think good of Allah. And so when some hardship touches us, and we think, you know, Allah was supposed to be taking care of me, what's happening? We should not be thinking now that Allah has turned against us. Especially if we're doing what pleases Allah. Especially if we're on the straight path. And we're obeying Allah. And our iman is up there. And then a calamity befalls us. We shouldn't think that Allah is not there for me now. But rather, it could be that this calamity, this mishap, this pain, this suffering in and of itself is Allah's sufficiency for you. So what we learn from this is that Allah's sufficiency does not necessarily always mean outward happiness and material blessings. Rather, it could also be in something that we dislike. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Perhaps you may dislike a thing, but Allah makes much good in that thing that you dislike. The sixth lesson that we learn from Allah's name, Ash-Shafi, is that this name teaches us to turn to Allah and put our trust in Him alone to cure us of any illness that befalls us, while remembering that everything that is looked at as a cure is merely a means. It is merely a means. That doesn't mean that we should not take it. It doesn't mean that we should not go after, you know, treatment, medical treatment. Rather the opposite. The Prophet ﷺ told us to seek medical treatment. But we should not put our trust in that alone, but rather in the cause of the cure, in the cause of the treatment. And the cause is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we have to remember three things related to the means for treatment. Three things. The first is that we should not take any means for cure that have not been prescribed by Allah or His Messenger, or that have not been tested to work. So that includes all kinds of medical treatment. If it is proven that this thing, it works, then we should take it. But if it hasn't been proven, if it's merely based on assumption and whatnot, then we should not be taking it. The second thing is that we should not put our trust in those means, but rather on the cause, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third is that we should know that no matter how great, no matter how effective the means are, no matter how effective this medicine is, we should remember that in the end of the day, all of these means for cure and treatment are tied to the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah is the one who is in complete control. We should never allow this to escape from our hearts. No matter how ill we become, no matter how effective that medicine is, we should always remember that it is tied to the will of Allah. And so if He wills, He'll allow the cure, the treatment to work. And if He does not will it, He won't allow it to work. And this is something that we can see. That yes, in most cases, medicine works. But how many times have we seen how the medicine, no matter how effective it is, it doesn't cure the patient? Proving that Allah is Ash-Shafi. He alone is the one who cures. And these means are what He has sent down for us to use as means, not as the source. And so when we put our trust in the in those means, it's as if we have taken that as a god besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the stronger your iman is in Allah and His qadr, that He is in control, the more content you will be when you face hardship and when you see that the cure is not working. When you believe that Allah is in control, you'll be content. You'll understand that I'm not being cured because of Allah, and only because of Allah. And so this is what we learn from Allah's name, Ash-Shafi. Finally, the last lesson that I wanted to share, and also related to Allah's name, Ash-Shafi, is the importance of calling upon Allah for treatment, for cure. The importance of calling upon Allah. And so unfortunately, many Muslims will use every medicine and every treatment out there, but they will forget to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, from the means of curing is not only the medicine that we have available today, but also the various methods that have been prescribed by Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam for curing various illnesses. And so Allah mentions in the Quran regarding honey, فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ. In it is cure. Allah has made cure in what the bee produces. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us various treatments, and this could be either in the form of medication, certain herbs, certain medicine, which is known as prophetic medicine, or it could be ruqya. Again, with all the advancement in medical sciences, many Muslims have abandoned these means, putting their trust in conventional medicine with all of its side effects and harms. Not to say that we should not use it, of course we should. But why have we abandoned what is considered 100%, what is considered that it works 100%? And that is prophetic medicine. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have taught us. And so ruqya is a means of curing ailments and diseases and illnesses that we don't even have a cure for today. But it's not merely words that we utter verbally, but these words have to come from the heart. These words that we utter, whether it be ayat of the Quran, whether it be certain du'as and adhkar, if we want to use it for curing ourselves, we have to say it from deep down within our hearts. It has to emanate from iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and belief that these words will definitely cure. And there are so many examples of how, you know, that has happened. And so we will suffice with this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us to rely upon Him alone for all of our needs, and to protect us and to grant us cure from every illness. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.